Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
Is a season inside the life of the church. It started about 1,500 years ago in Europe. It's the season where, as a church, we intentionally slow down and remember and reflect, take time to step into history, step into the story of Jesus coming, of God coming in the most unexpected way. And today we're going to explore this season of Advent through our new Christmas series called Hidden in Plain Sight. And my prayer is that over the next few weeks, God will help us to see the hidden beauty of the promise of Christmas, even in some places we may have overlooked. Because what we're going to discover today and over the next few weeks is that the story of Christmas didn't start in Bethlehem. It's been woven through Scripture from the very beginning, of the Bible, often quietly, sometimes subtly, but always there. And so as we turn to God's word this morning, we begin a journey of rediscovering the promise that God has been keeping from the very beginning. And so if you'd like to follow along in Scripture, you can turn to Genesis chapter 3. If you've got a paper Bible, Genesis will be the first book in your paper Bible. If you've got a digital Bible, Genesis will be the first one at the top of your drop-down menu. Easy to find. And if you'd like to, I see some of you are already on it, but if you'd like to follow along with our digital sermon notes, they're available at hillsideairdrie.ca/sermon notes or in the QR code that's on the screen behind me. But before, as you're turning to that passage and before we jump in, I want to set the stage for where we're going. Every year at Christmas, we read the same passages. It's one of the blessings and the difficulties of being a pastor and preaching at this time of year. I've got my predetermined text. We're going to talk about Matthew 1 and we're going to talk about Luke 2. Every year, we turn to those passages, and it's good and it's right that we turn to those passages, and we're going to look at them this year too. But there's a part that we often forget, we often don't look at, we often don't see. That Christmas doesn't just appear out of nowhere. It doesn't begin with Mary. It doesn't begin with Joseph, and it doesn't even begin with a star in the sky. The story of Christmas started long before that. God has been pointing to Jesus from the very beginning. The entire Old Testament is filled with stories, symbols, promises, prophecies, with signs and hints that a Savior was coming. But many of them, they're easy to miss. Unless you're intentionally looking for them, you can read past it and not even see it. And so throughout Advent, that's this Sunday and the next three Sundays before Christmas, four Sundays left till Christmas, just so you know. You got to get your shopping done. Each week, we're going to see how these promises, these clues are fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. How God was preparing the world for Jesus, not just for a few years, but from the very beginning. And my hope is simple, that we're not just gonna celebrate the Christmas story, but we're gonna celebrate the whole story. The story behind the story. The story that was hidden in plain sight. And so as we turn to Genesis chapter 3, in Genesis chapter 3, we're dropped into the middle of a tragedy. The world God had made was good. In Genesis chapter 1, we read about the narrative around the creation of the world. And after everything God creates, he says just simply, it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. Until he creates man, in which case he says, it was very good. We're dropped into, in Genesis 1, we discover a world that is beautiful, whole, full of joy and purpose. And then everything falls apart. Adam and Eve, the first two that were created, they fall into temptation. They were told that God's way wasn't the best way and that they could do better on their own. That what God had for them wasn't the best of what could be. But instead, if they trusted in their own selves instead of God, they could get something better than what God had for them. And Adam and Eve choose this lie over the truth. They reached for what God said was not theirs, and suddenly the world was different. Suddenly the world changes. Shame enters. Fear enters. Blame enters. And death enters. And for the first time in Scripture, we have a moment where human beings hide from the God who made them, from the God who loved them, from the God who created them. This moment, right here in Genesis 3, is the darkest moment in human history as we shatter perfection, as we choose selfishness, and it destroys God's creation. Now, to be sure, for us, this moment, right now, nothing about that feels like Christmas. We sang earlier this morning, joy to the world. Nothing about that screams joy. Nothing feels hopeful, joyful, peaceful, holly or jolly. As God deals with the fallout of this moment where humanity falls apart, as God deals with this moment, we come to Genesis 15, or Genesis 3, verse 15. And we see God right here in the middle of the ruins of our choices. God speaks a promise. It's a promise that it would be so easy to completely miss. It's a promise that does not look like Christmas yet. But God, as he's dealing with all of the fallout of this moment, he speaks to the deceiver, the one who deceived Adam and Eve, the enemy, the one who said to them, you know, God is hiding things from you. And God says this to the deceiver. He says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, and she will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. This right here is the first promise of Christmas. Right here, in the middle of the fall, in the fallout of the first moment where we've walked away from God, we see the first promise that God is going to make a way back. In the moment, in the middle of judgment, in the middle of heartbreak, God says, one day, someone is going to come. Someone born of a woman. And when he comes, he will crush your head. Now, if we can get a little bit theological for a moment, if we can get a little bit into the weeds a little bit, this verse has a special name that the church has given it. If you were to go to Bible college, if you were to do deep study, you would discover that there's a special name given to this verse. The special name is the Proto-Evangelium. So now, when you go home from church today, you're talking to your friends, your neighbors, whoever, and they say, what did you learn about church today? Well, what did you learn about at church today? You can say, oh, at my church, we talked about the proto-evangelium. And then when they look back at you, you're confused, you can say, oh, you don't know what that is. Well, let me tell you, it's Greek. And you can say, the proto-evangelium it's the first gospel. It's Genesis 3:15. But now you know. You know that the Genesis 3:15, it's the first announcement that God would not abandon us. And it comes right on the heels of us choosing to abandon him. It's the first hint that evil would not win. And it comes right on the heels of evil's first victory. It's the very first whisper that a savior is coming. But it's small. It's subtle. It doesn't say Bethlehem. It doesn't say Mary. It doesn't say wise men. It doesn't say shepherds. It doesn't say a manger. It doesn't say a star. It just says someone is coming. Someone who's going to undo what sin has done. Someone who will deal with the deceiver once and for all. This is the seed of Christmas, planted right here in Genesis 3. Because Genesis 3 isn't just a story about human failure. It's not a story just about Adam and Eve dropping the ball, and now you and me and all of us, we gotta live in the light of their failure. But what it shows us is that there's a real enemy who opposes God's work and who opposes God's people. And this is why the first Sunday of Advent has always been called the Sunday of Hope. Because right here in Genesis 3, in the darkest moment of human history, God lights the first candle of hope. When everything was broken, God steps in and promises restoration. Hope wasn't gone. Hope wasn't lost. Hope was just beginning to shine. And so as we light the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope, it's a reminder that even in the darkness, God's promises still shine. God's plan still stands, and God's light is never overwhelmed. Now from here, just by way of including you, if you'd like to be a part of our Advent readings and being a part of the candle lighting process, you can, Kama, I see that hand. No, she's shaking her head. She's like, not me. But if you would like to be a part of that, you can come and just speak to me or speak to Pastor Lori following the service, and we'll be glad to incorporate you into that. But as we light the candle of Advent, what we're reminded is that the flame, it's small. It's simple. And it doesn't look like much, but neither does the promise in Genesis chapter 3. Neither does a baby in a manger, and neither does one of three crosses on a hill outside of Jerusalem. But hope often starts out small until you realize what God is doing. Genesis 3 starts out small until you realize what it is. A baby born in a manger seems completely unimpressive until you discover what God is doing. And one of three crosses on a hill outside of Jerusalem is totally unremarkable, except that it changes the course of human history. Now, if we jump from Genesis all the way to the Gospel of Luke, thousands of years have passed. Empires have risen and fallen. Generations have come and gone. But the promise that God makes in Genesis chapter 3 never goes away. And one quiet day in Nazareth, God sends an angel to a young woman named Mary And in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, that angel speaks to Mary and she says this, or he says this, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Did you hear it? Did you see it? This is the promise of Genesis 3, finally stepping into the light. The offspring of the woman, the one who would crush the deceiver, the one who would undo the curse, the one who would restore what was broken, is going to be found in Jesus. The promise that was hidden for centuries is now going to be revealed in a manger. The story of Christmas is not Jesus, or is not God coming up with a plan at the last minute. Christmas is God keeping the promise he made at the very beginning. So what do we do with all of this? What does this mean for us? What does this mean for you today? Because Genesis 3 isn't just a story about Adam and Eve. It's our story. All of us know what it feels like to hide. All of us know what it feels like to fail. And all of us know what it feels like to live in a world that's not the way it should be. And because of that, Christmas reminds us of this truth. God doesn't leave us in the dark. He came for us. He pursued us. And he stepped into our world with a promise that could not be broken. And the same God who spoke in the garden speaks over your life today. Maybe you feel like you're in a dark chapter. Maybe you feel like you're in the darkest chapter. Maybe you're waiting. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you're facing something that feels bigger than you. The promise of Christmas, what Christmas tells us, is that hope is already on the way. It always has been. And so as we begin this Advent season, I want to invite you to look for the ways God's promises are still shining in your life. Even if they seem small, even if they seem hidden, even if it seems quiet. Because the story of Christmas is the story of a God who always keeps his promises. And so three takeaways for our time together today. First, God's promise of Christmas began long before Bethlehem. In the middle of our darkest moment, God plants a seed of hope. Christmas is not God reacting, it's God keeping a promise he made from the very beginning. Christmas didn't start in Bethlehem, it starts in the Garden of Eden. Second, God places hope where we least expect it. The first gospel was small, subtle, and easy to miss. And hope often begins quietly, a whisper, a promise, a small flame in the dark. But God's hope always shines, even when it seems small, hidden, or quiet. And lastly, the promise God whispered in Genesis is fulfilled in Jesus, the offspring of the woman who would crush the deceiver has come. The story behind the story is now revealed. What God promised in the beginning is revealed in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you are a promise-keeping God. God, I thank you that even in our worst moment, even in the moment where we chose to walk away from you, even in the moment where we chose to shatter perfection, God, I thank you that in that moment, you made a promise. You made a promise to humanity that even though humanity had shattered perfection, that you would make a way for us to come back. And God, I thank you that as we enter into the season of Advent, as we set aside this time in the story of our lives and in the story of the church to remember and reflect that you came, God, I pray that that would fill us with hope, because the God who made a promise is the same God who kept his promise. And God, for each one of us today, each one of us here, each one of us listening to this, God, for those of us who are living between the promise and the answer, may our calendar as it turns to December remind us that you are a promise-keeping God. That we are working day by day closer to Christmas, closer to this miracle where God himself stepped down into human history. God, may that serve as a reminder for us today that you are a promise-keeping God. And God, I pray that that would fill us with hope. Hope for the places that seem broken. Hope for the places that seem lost. Hope for the dreams that we thought were dead. Hope for the places in our life that we had chosen to walk away from because there was nothing there. God, hope would be born because you are a promise-keeping God. What you say will come to pass. And God, I pray that we would live in light of the fulfillment of Christmas. God, I thank you that we can come together and be reminded of who you are. And God, I pray that we would be able to live each day, each moment, each conversation in light of your goodness and your faithfulness. God, we love you. We are so grateful for the way you love us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go,